This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome inside GTC. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. No Mark Sacchino today. Mark Sacchino is on a flight. He'll be back on the show on Wednesday. Bob, we are in two different countries right now. You are in Toronto, of course, and I'm coming to you from Pinehurst, where I'm here with our friends from Adidas for the Addy Cup this week. Bob, how many times have you been to Pinehurst?
I think I've covered three tournaments there and probably a couple other times, I think, half a dozen maybe, something like that. Not for a while, though. I haven't been there for quite some time, and I know they've made a lot of changes. There's about, 30 golf courses there now or something? Pinehurst number 28, Pinehurst number 29. There's a lot of golf around that area. It's a pretty cool place to be.
I would call it a golf playground, if you will, and 10 golf courses here. Number 10 just opened a little earlier this month. The Cradle, too, which is one of the most fun experiences I've been told you can have on a golf course. 9 holes, $50 to play. All you need is a wedge and a putter. And so I actually just did an interview with Eric Kuster from Pinehurst, who's been working here for over 20 years. We're going to air that interview closer to the U.S. Open because, hey, the U.S. Open, not that they're counting or anything, Bob, 52 days away from now, the U.S. Open is taking place. So stay tuned to our social media channels throughout the week. I'm teeing it up on number two, Pinehurst number two, where the U.S. Open's being held.
Wow.
In 3 hours and 8 minutes. Not that I'm counting or anything, so looking forward to getting out and playing. Bob, busy weekend for you. Did you get out and play golf outside in the hail?
No, I did not. I decided to, there were better days ahead, and I took a pass on the chilly temps. There were some brave souls out there, from what I understand, and all kudos to those who played. One of them, of course, our ardent friend, James Duthie, who posted a shot of him playing pretty bulked up in clothes and amongst the ice pellets or whatever you call that down there. So he was playing. But I took a pass. There are days ahead. It's like the forecast isn't real super warm. I want to get some warmer days here ahead before I go out and play. It's nice and sunny, but it's like 5 degrees today so far.
Well, I think I brought the cold weather to Pinehurst because right now outside my hotel room here, it's about 12 degrees Celsius. The high is up to 16. Last Monday it was 30 here. So it has certainly changed a bit. And before we get into the crazy dominant stretch right now by the world number ones, both PGA and the LPGA tours, you mentioned James Duthie, and we got to spend some time with James last Thursday with our friends from TaylorMade and Golf Town. Did you see James had a couple bandages on his fingers? Like, I know the guy loves to play golf, but Bob, I mean, playing outside, like he's really risking it a lot right now, isn't he?
I witnessed one of his accidents, which was a run-in when we were at the Masters. Of course, we stay in the same house, and he had a little battle with a blender that didn't go too well. So a Vitamix or whatever it was, I think. He makes us all morning smoothies, which is really healthy stuff. But yeah, it was a little more than just a nick, let's put it that way. And so he's got the bandages on there, but nothing will stop him from getting out in the golf course.
Nothing will stop him, and stay tuned to an upcoming edition of GTC. You can watch what we went through at Golf Town, little fun video being done. The guys on Overdrive had a lot of fun with the photo that we posted from Golf Talk Canada with the light that was hitting Brian Hayes at just maybe just the wrong spot. But anyway, busy show today. Dominating stretch in the world of golf for a couple of notable players. We'll discuss them. TJ Rule from Golf Away Tour is going to join the show as well this week. We're airing our Portugal travel special, first airing tomorrow night, 10 p.m. on TSN2. We're going to learn more about golf in Myrtle Beach right now with Ryan Cannon from Myrtle Beach and Michael the Hound Dog Harrison also joining us today here on GTC. But let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Well, Bob, last week on GTC, I think I asked you the question about Nelly Korda looking to win five straight LPGA tournaments. And each time I kind of had to pinch myself thinking, is this really happening? Professional golfer, five straight victories. How hard would it be? Well, now she's done it. Bob, she's won five straight LPGA tournaments. The first player on the LPGA tour to do this since Annika Sörenstam in 2004-05 season. Just how mind-blowing is this?
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, as each win grows and as she goes further and further down the stretch, it just gets more and more difficult in terms of dealing with everything that's going on around you. I think on the golf course, the expectations off the golf course, all the extra media attention you got to do, just the focus on one player becomes so intense that it's remarkable she's able to keep things simple. And that's what she said has been sort of the key, is to try not to think beyond the next shot. And she's got a good team that kind of reminds her. She said that when she starts to daydream about getting the win, she immediately pulls herself back in to focus on the next shot. And it wasn't bumpy free. You know, there were some hiccups. She had a couple of, she hit a shot in the water on the 15th. She had a couple of bogeys here and there, but her overall play was just so much more consistent than the rest of the field. And we had a bit of a charge from Brooke Henderson, who probably was the most likely candidate to try and catch her after that great 63 or 4, whatever she had on Saturday. You know, I thought she might be in the mood, but she had a real disaster on the one of the par fives, taking a seven, you know, thinning one into a bunker, leaving it in the bunker. And so, but I think for Nelly Korda right now, she's going to play again this week, which is even more remarkable. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. She's going to LA, and that the media attention there will be massive. This is something that the LPGA dearly loved. And if you're an LPGA player or on the executive or the commissioner, I mean, you must just be singing the high praises of Nelly Korda, because we have so much focus right now on women's golf, which is deserving.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a similar conversation after Nelly won her second, her third straight. But the game of golf needs this, and needs this badly. When you look at the popularity of the sport, you think back to COVID and it's surging up with people playing of all levels, starting the game, really getting back into the game, that sort of thing. And then everything that's gone on now with the PGA Tour and LIV, ratings are down significantly right now. But
in the States, in the States, make sure you clarify that. Ratings are down in the States.
Okay, thank you.
Not necessarily where we are, right? Just making sure they know. Sorry to interrupt.
No, thank you. No, that's definitely good to know. That's the first I'm hearing of that. So this is I like to learn new things from you every time we're on the air, Bob. But to have a story like this from Nelly Korda, just helping, you know, the popularity of golf coming back, like you said, the LPGA. The casual golf fan, everyone has to love this marketable superstar now excelling at the highest level and doing this at an historic rate.
And at an historic time as well, where there's more and more attention on women's sports. And the LPGA Tour has been one of the most successful professional women's sports organizations for a long time. But now to have not only a player winning five straight, but an American player winning five straight, I think, goes a long way as well. There's so much more attention on her. You know, we sort of thought maybe the Michelle Wee would be the big pearl player, or maybe it was going to be, I don't know, Lexi Thompson, who's kind of fizzled a little bit, still a good player by most means. But now you have the dominant player in the world being an American, and that always helps, because you know what, the Americans love to cheer for their own. And I think we're sort of seeing the blossoming of something that could be really, really special.
Well, Nelly Korda on quite the run right now. Let's hear from Nelly Korda after she won her fifth straight tournament.
Yeah, I mean, in 21, I had an amazing year. Got my first major at KPMG, and just a lot of doubt crept into my mind in 2022 and 20, especially 2023. I heard some outside voices from other people saying that, they don't know if I'll ever be able to win another major again. And I stuck to working extremely hard on and off the golf course. And I'm so thankful to have the team that I do. They've gone through all the highs and lows with me, especially Jason. And I just can't be more thankful for the hard work that each and one of them put into it. Obviously, my mind kept wanting to go to 18. It was such a long day. I felt like we were out there. Well, I've been up since 4 a.m., so it has been a long day. But as I have to give props to Jason because he's the one that kept me in it. He's the one that kept telling me a shot at a time, shot at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself. Stick to what's in front of you and work on that.
How did you push those doubts out that you were referring to earlier?
By having a great team around me, full of positivity and working hard. I mean, hard work will always get you somewhere. So I kept my head down and I worked really, really hard.
Thank you. When you were going through that really tough time with your surgery and your arm, could you have imagined being in this position, winning five in a row, tying an LPGA record, just everything that you've been able to do?
Back then, no, because obviously then I was just more scared for my health. Other than competing was kind of on the backseat. I was not thinking about competing at all. But I think all of the sad times and the health scares that I have gone through have made me who I am today. I think it has matured me a lot, and I would say it's shaped me into the person I am today, and I'm very grateful for the ups and downs.
Nelly Korda, five straight wins now, and Bob, how about the cannonball after she won too into the water? That looked a little cold.
That's a little different pond than they used to have at Mission Hills when they basically turned it into a swimming pool. This is an actual pond, and there were some comments on a picture that was posted. I don't know if it was Nelly or posted it, but of her jumping in there, that someone said that they'd seen snakes in that pond before. Lilia Vu actually said that, so I don't know. Anyway, she jumped in there, and she jumped in there with her very expensive watch, and I mean very expensive watch, on as well. But thankfully, it was waterproof. She said she kind of forgot about it, but it is should be fine. But that's a good tradition out there. I don't know how it started or why it started, but it's a tradition that's going on, and we'll see if she can keep this going another week in Los Angeles.
Looking for her sixth straight win, and we'll have much more on that coming up on Wednesday's show. Well, that's the world number one on the LPGA Tour right now. That's Nelly Korda. She's won five straight. When we look at the world number one on the PGA Tour in the men's game right now, another week and another dominating performance by Scottie Scheffler. I mean, come on, a three-shot victory. This one a little different. He just tapped in for the victory about an hour and a half ago after weather delays for about 2.5 hours on Sunday. But Bob, I mean, how does he keep doing this? This is remarkable.
I think everyone's sort of waiting for the train to go off the track or at least slow down a little bit. But just like Nelly, he just keeps it's. I was thinking about this last night, that the two of them are very similar in that they very rarely make a big mistake. If they might have a bogey here or something there, but they'll follow it up with a birdie, or they'll keep the train on the track and keep going down there. And they sort of force everybody else to play at a higher level to try and catch them. And sometimes, people are trying to catch them and they're going out of their comfort zone. We just heard Nelly talking about it. It's the same thing with Scotty. He just goes out there, plays his game, hits great shots, sinks putts now, which he wasn't doing at the start of the year. And it's remarkable to witness. And when we do our picks every week, I sort of think, is this the week that he comes off? Is this the week that he doesn't happen? And now, thank goodness, he's going to take a break. We're not quite sure when we're going to see him again because he's just about to become a father for the first time. So maybe that's the only thing that's going to slow him down. We'll see. But he might be pretty impressive. And who knows what kind of streak he's going to be on by the time he gets to where you are right now, Adam, in Pinehurst.
Yeah, and I mean, Mark has already predicted that Scheffler is going to win the U.S. Open here at Pinehurst, just given the setup here and the creativity. You need shots around the green with the turtleback greens, that sort of thing. But looking at our friends from FanDuel right now, Scottie Scheffler's odds to win the PGA Championship are +350. So 3.5 to 1 to win the PGA Championship. U.S. Open, +450. The Open, +500 or 5 to 1. To win the Grand Slam, his odds are only 60 to 1. 60 to 1 to win the next three major championships. I mean, recency bias, it's so hard to ask this question, but how many more? Like, what's the over-under on more majors won the rest of the way this season for Scottie Scheffler, do you think, Bob?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to kind of put it into comprehension because I, as I said before, you know, you keep waiting for him to slow down. You keep waiting for the train to go off the track or have a bump or have a bad round or have a bad tournament. And he doesn't seem to be doing it. And his, as you're saying before, his ability to put pressure on other players just by the way he plays is something special. And in a major championship, you know, you get off the tracks just slightly, and it can be a really big fall off anything. I mean, it's amazing how much, as we saw at the Masters, you know, one bad swing, like Ludvig Åberg on the 11th hole, how much that can mean in a major championship, especially on Sunday. So I don't know. It's certainly, even when Tiger was at his prime, I always wondered if he would be able to win all four, and he did win all four one time in succession, not in 1 year. But man, this is something special that he's got going, and there's the possibility is certainly there.
I can't believe those numbers to look at how short those odds are here, looking at the rest of his season. And you know, heading into the Masters, we had the Tiger Scottie conversation. After the Masters, heading into the RBC Heritage, we had the Scottie Tiger in terms of dominating stretch, that sort of conversation. Well, now that he's won again and won by 3 shots, what do you think, Bob? How close does this feel the next time he tees it up, let's say at the PGA Championship, or if it's before that, to where Tiger was, let's say in 2007?
Yeah, it's pretty dominating right now, and he's not just winning. He's winning by twos and threes, and which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's pretty impressive. And it's hard to kind of imagine somebody catching him, and you know, in a head-to-head battle down the stretch. That's the one thing that I always, so you know, Tiger was intimidating. When players saw Tiger's name on the leaderboard, you know, their games would shrivel a little bit, and they would do things that they weren't capable of doing consistently. And now Scottie's got that reputation, whereas if he gets out on the early draw and on the first round of the PGA Championship and shoots 64 or 65, man, everybody's looking there. Some guys haven't even teed off and they're 8 back. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can keep this going. And again, the same thing I was saying about Nelly, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of commitments, a lot of extra things that you have to do. Tiger handled it so well. He was in the media room every Tuesday. Didn't matter what tournament it was. He did a little bit of TV here. He did a little bit of that extra media stuff, extra sponsor stuff. So if Scottie can keep his game together and change diapers at the same time, that might be the only thing that slows him down. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. Now, 4 wins in his last 5 starts. The only start he didn't win during that span, a T2 at the Texas Children's Houston Open. Scottie Scheffler on a roll. Nelly Korda on a dominant roll right now. Nelly Korda also took home $1.2 million for that victory last week at the Chevron Championship. So she won by two shots. Someone who was three shots off the lead, a T3, that was Brooke Henderson. When we come back here on GTC, we'll hear from Brooke Henderson after her T3 finish at the first major of the LPGA season. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max, only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Weeks here. Zucchino back on Wednesday. Well, the first LPGA major of the season has come and gone. The Chevron Championship. Nelly Korda, the winner in that one. 68, 69, 69, 69. A two-shot victory. Oh, just her fifth straight win for Nelly Korda. How about Brooke Henderson, though? T3, her fifth top 10 already in eight starts so far this season. Let's hear from Brooke Henderson after finishing T3.
Today was really interesting. Definitely not my best stuff, which is a little disappointing, but Nelly played amazing, and what she's doing is pretty incredible. So congratulations to her. And, you know, I feel like I learned a lot this week. Yesterday was a lot of fun. Today, maybe not so much fun, but I'm definitely learning a lot. And I feel like my game's right there, so just got to keep going. It was kind of just weird. I should have been, like, almost making eagle, and instead I walked away with double. So it was definitely unfortunate, but, I'm proud of the way I made two birdies back-to-back. Kind of got it, things under control a little bit. Would have liked to make a few more birdies, especially on the back nine, make her a little bit more nervous than she was. But, overall, it was a great championship. If I had started the week coming in saying I would have had a top three, I would definitely would have taken it. It's great to be contending and in the final group. It's so much fun. You know, the crowds were amazing all week. And, you know, just to kind of be in it and to feel that kind of adrenaline and excitement is really awesome. And so hopefully I can just, like I said, keep moving forward. My game's right there. Just need a couple breaks and fine tune a few things. And hopefully I'll be lifting trophies soon.
Good summary of her week there from Brooke Henderson, a T3 finish. What did you make of her week, Bob?
I mean, overall, I think you look at it and say it's a pretty good week. She's finished, you know, high up in a major championship. It's something that has been eluding her a little bit. She did have a nice second place finish last year at the Evian Championship, but I think coming off last year, in which it wasn't, as we've all acknowledged on here before, wasn't one of her greatest years or most consistent years, this is a good finish. And I think you could hear kind of in her voice there that she wanted more. She wanted to win. She was in a position to win after that round on Saturday. And I think she realized she kind of let it slip go by. There was there was one real sloppy, as we talked about a little bit at the top of the show, that sloppy fourth hole where she was right beside the green in two and walked off with a seven. And she missed a couple of other sort of opportunities, I think, coming down the stretch, is just trying to hold things together. Even just, you know, you miss a putt here and it turns a par into a bogey and you fall a little bit further back. She did, after that seven, she did, we credit her because she went birdie, birdie right after to try and chase that down. But she had a great opportunity to win, and I think she knows that, and I think you could hear that in her voice. But in the bigger picture, I think it's pretty good. She just needs to clear up that short game and that, especially that bunker play. She was 1-for-7 in sand saves, and she's only averaging this season 4.9 on the par fives. And she's such a long hitter and such a accurate player into the greens that I think she needs to take better advantage of the par fives a little bit. She wasn't terrible this week, but just some key misses on the par fives.
An average 12 greens in regulation per round. And you heard it there in her comments where she didn't have her best stuff, especially on Sunday. But when you think looking forward, given all the major championships coming up, given the CPKC Women's Open, given the Olympics, when Brooke Henderson finishes T3 in a major championship and doesn't have her best stuff, in my mind, Bob, that has to be a great sign looking forward to when she does have her best stuff. We could see her go on quite a run, maybe even a Nelly-esque run. Who knows?
Possibly. I mean, I think you look at Saturday's round and realize that she's got the capabilities to make it happen. And, you know, when she was putting, we've always commented about how her putting is inconsistent. But when you saw where she was rolling in some of those shots, like on Saturday, I think she had like a 45-footer for eagle. She had about a 30-footer for a birdie. I mean, those are not just little tap-ins. Those are really good. And she talked after about how she's just trying to stay comfortable with the putter. That's what she's been working on. And by that, she sort of means, I don't want to be defensive. I don't want to sort of stand over a ball and not know what I'm going to be doing or not know what my shot is going to be or not know how much break I'm playing. She wants to be comfortable over it. And I think it's starting to pay off. It was, again, a bit of a slip on Sunday, but I still think in the bigger picture, as you point out, Adam, very well, you know, there's a lot ahead, I think, for Brooke this year.
Already 5 top 10s in just 8 starts this season. Brooke Henderson off to a great start. As she mentioned in her comments, just a matter of time before she is back in the winner's circle. And Brooke also did say she is not playing this week. So taking this week off, not in the field this week. Okay, when Golf Talk Canada comes back, we're going to take a look at golf in Myrtle Beach. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC, Scully and Weeks here. Well, there are some great golf destinations all over the world. In fact, a little later this week on GTC, we're airing our Portugal travel special. But another great destination to head to, it's easy to get to from Toronto as well, is Myrtle Beach. For much more on what's going on currently in Myrtle Beach and a little look ahead to what's to come this season, here's Mark Sacchino with Ryan Cannon.
All right, joining me now, Executive Director of Golf Tourism Solutions, Ryan Cannon. Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time to do this with me on Golf Talk Canada. Before we get into springtime in the beach, because I've been trolling Myrtle Beach online. I've got friends there on your team under your umbrella. I'm seeing the pics. It looks beautiful. It looks like you guys are 30, 60 days ahead of where you should be. So before we get into that, though, welcome to the team. Somewhat new to the role as an executive director, you must be excited and you must be kind of pumped for 2024. You've got so much going on in front of you.
Thank you, first and foremost, for the invite to connect. We were just chatting before we started that our paths had to have crossed in the not too distant past here. And that, as you mentioned, I am new to the role, having previously spent 21 years with the PGA of America, ran several PGA championships, including the 2013 PGA Championship in Rochester at Oak Hill. And during that adventure, spent a lot of time in Toronto. So it's a sale, that's a, it's a privilege to get to reconnect here. The Canadian golf fans are some of the best in the world, in my opinion. And now I have this incredible privilege to help steward and promote golf in the golf capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, which I know Canadians have a strong affinity for the beach. And it's just a great time to be here. Spring has sprung. It's beautiful here. And we encourage everybody to check it out, book early and often, and get their golf trip in at the beach.
Yeah, I mean, for decades now, historically speaking, from an international perspective, Southern Ontario, Quebec, Canada in general, but certainly those provinces have flooded to Myrtle Beach over the years. Again, the weather looks, am I accurate? Are pictures telling the story here? Because I'm seeing flowers in bloom, sunny days. You guys are primed and ready for business. And I mean, if you haven't booked yet, you're probably late. You should be booking right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No, the Spring has fully sprung. It is spectacular. The season change here at the beach is really beautiful, and it is starting to peak, right? With the Masters around the corner, we're getting beautiful sunny days right now in the mid to high 70s. The azaleas are in full bloom. I mean, it's just the grass and the playing conditions are fantastic. So yeah, the images and the information you're receiving is accurate. It's a beautiful, beautiful spring here at the beach.
It's interesting too, because we're part of that time where if golfers want to kickstart their season, because although, we've had mild days up in the Northeast, we also still get those days that feel like spring and summer is a long time away. So we're in that part of the season where you can kick off your season and kind of start your golf season early before you get to your home clubs and courses. But you're also kind of transitioning as well into that family beach season is only a few months away, where the golfers start crossing over with the beachgoers. Because, I know we love to talk about golf. It's Golf Talk Canada. That's what our audience is interested in. But I have bumped into so many Canadians over the years that are trying to figure out, okay, I need to do something with the kids as well. I need something to do with the family as well. If you get to Myrtle Beach in those types of years, you got, the beach, the amusement park, there's other things to do, and you squeeze out and get your golf in, early in the morning, and you can kind of double dip a little bit. So we can't, I guess we can't really forget that that's a consumer, and that is a Canadian consumer, and we're a little closer to that time of year than what people are probably thinking already.
No, that's exactly right, Mark. It is candidly what separates Myrtle Beach from everywhere else is if you love the game of golf, there's just no better place to come with your friends for a golf trip or come with your family. There's so many options. It's the ideal choose your own adventure location because there's nowhere else that has this many fantastic golf options and then also has one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. So the combination makes for kind of an endless and infinite variety of experiences. There's fantastic culinary options here. You have all the other attractions. And oh, by the way, you can go out and play some really, really good golf. So that's what makes the Myrtle Beach the golf capital of the world. It's what makes it so popular. And spring is a fantastic time to enjoy the beach, really any time of year. But spring in particular is really a beautiful season here.
Well, you use the word experience, and I'm going to experience for the first time ever the World Amateur Golf Championship, which is the largest gathering, the largest World Amateur Championship on the planet, happening this August. We're going to be there doing some radio, some TV. We're bringing three Canadian lucky winners with us, listeners, viewers, etc. But we're welcoming and encouraging other Canadians to join us. I know you get a big Canadian contingent and have done so over the years. But for those people who are, unaware of this championship, that don't know its long history, because it goes deep, what can they expect? I always lead personally with the world's largest 19th hole, because I think to me, that's where it's like, that's the party, that's the gathering point, that's the real celebration of golf.
It is so this will be my very first World Amateur Handicap Championship as well. But I've spent a lot of time with the team, done some homework on this. And it's as if, the world's largest 19th hole, great party, great atmosphere, fantastic food, lots of fun. And then, oh, by the way, a golf competition breaks out. It's as much about the 19th hole as it is anything, and really it is about fun. It's about the experience. It's about being at the beach with literally thousands of your fellow golfers from around the world. Just last year there were 3,500 participants, and 92% of the participants came from outside Myrtle Beach. We came, I think it was 25 different countries in all 50 states. I mean, it's a remarkable thing, a gathering in the game of golf, if you will. And there's nothing else like it. And if anyone is interested, the value, it's an unbelievable value to have the opportunity to play multiple rounds of golf in a competitive but fun environment and also get to experience the 19th hole. If anybody's interested, it's really easy. You just go to playgolfmyrtlebeach.com. You'll find all the registration, sign-up info. And that's actually happening right now. Now is the time to sign up for this. It begins August 26th and concludes on August 30. So I can't wait, Mark, for you to be down here. And I'm thrilled to hear that you're bringing three lucky guests as well. They're gonna have a blast. There just isn't anything else like this in the game of golf, and it's a real celebration.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've only been aware of this forever and a day, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. And you're right about the value. Like, to flip it to Canadian money, it's under $1,000. It's well under
Oh, yeah.
1,000 Canadian to be able to play those golf courses, have all those experiences over and around the golf. So many divisions, whether you're a serious golfer and a single digit handicapper, or whether you're a weekend warrior with 18 plus handicap, it's just fun to get involved. The people you'll meet, it's a real celebration of the amateur game. Now, interesting enough, that's kind of always been on the radar. When we talk Myrtle Beach, we always talk World Am, but this year there's something different on the radar. And I can't believe this is a first time that finally the PGA Tour is arriving in the golf capital of the world at the old Classic Dunes Club, the week of May 6th, 6th to the 12th. There's got to be a different buzz. I got to think that people have kind of put this on the calendar, like welcoming, can't wait to welcome the best in the world in the beach.
Yeah, no doubt. To your point, Mark, it's long, long overdue. And to say that the community is excited about this would be a massive understatement, right? It is such a cool thing for Myrtle Beach, the Myrtle Beach Classic at the Dunes Club. I cannot wait to introduce, golf at the beach to the best players in the world. I think they're going to have a blast. I think their families, those who travel with their families, are going to have a blast. They're going to be presented with a fantastic and beautiful test of golf at the Dunes Club. They've been working extremely hard, very dedicated, caring membership and staff there. To put on a great show, and it is it's just long overdue for the beach to finally have a PGA Tour event, and I can't wait to not only see year one, but really excited about to see kind of where it goes in the future. And I might be a little biased, but I do have some experience in this lane, and I think this thing's only going to grow and get better and more popular over time. Because those that know, when you come to the beach, like it's a great time. It's hard to have a bad, you have to try really hard to have a bad time, Myrtle Beach. So I think that sentiment, the world-class hospitality here, the players are going to get to experience that, and that's fun. And so we can't wait for it.
Well, I think, yeah, it's going to be a wonderful showcase. You've got so much on the plate for 24. Let's touch base in a couple of months before we get to that World Am, before we get on site. Again, I encourage everybody to get out there, get involved with the World Amateur, and get down to the beach this year. It's never too early to book. If you think you're too late, you still get some great deals out there. There's never better value anywhere in the business. Congratulations, Ryan, on your new position. I look forward to meeting you in person and getting together at the World Am, and we'll talk this summer on Golf Talk Canada. Thanks so much.
Yeah, Mark, thank you. I appreciate all your listeners and watchers, and look forward to seeing you and all of them here at Myrtle Beach.
Awesome stuff there from Mark and Ryan Cannon. Looking forward to seeing what's to come with Myrtle Beach and the World Am event coming up in August. When we come back here on GTC, some news just breaking about the President's Cup. We'll tell you what's going on next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up Hour 1 here on GTC, Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. And coming up in Hour 2, we're going to hear from TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours about golf in Portugal and also how you can plan your bucket list trip of a lifetime with Golf Away Tours. Trust me, you want to do this. It is easy. But Bob, some news coming out this morning about a tournament that we are going to be paying a lot of attention to leading up to the tournament and on location the week of. That is the President's Cup, and Mike Weir announced his captain's assistants. Tell us about that.
He did. Mike Weir announced four. There are going to be five. He's reserving one spot, and I think it's a really interesting mix of players. Here they are, the four that he announced this morning while he was in Montreal: Ernie Els, Trevor Immelman, Jeff Ogilvy, and Camilo Villegas. Now, all have been captains or assistant captains in the past, so nothing new here. So he's building on success, I guess, if you want to call it that, whatever. But I find adding the two most recent captains as assistant captains really interesting. I don't think we've ever done that before on the international side anyway. But to bring Ernie Els in is huge. He's such a well-respected figure amongst all these players. And then Trevor Immelman, who did a great job 2 years ago, unfortunately wasn't quite enough. But I think that the players really enjoyed him. And there's going to be a lot of players who are returning. So the consistency level, I think, is great. Ernie was the guy, of course, who brought the team aspect. He designed the shield, switched the colors to gold and black. And then you've got Trevor, who was sort of a methodical player with a lot of analytics that he brought into it. Jeff Ogilvy is a well-respected player, and he is likely to succeed Weir, because the next time there's an international home game, it'll be in Australia, so you could pretty much expect that. And I think Villegas is probably along the same lines, that maybe down the road they're thinking of going somewhere into South America and maybe to his home country. So I think there's a lot of really good reasons, and these are all well-regarded guys to load up there. Now we want to see what Jim Furyk's going to do. See who, maybe we get Tiger Woods back in Montreal as a captain's assistant. That would be kind of interesting. If he is named as the Ryder Cup captain, and he kind of hinted at that when he was asked at the Masters this year, he said he's in discussions with the PGA, or he's had discussions, I guess, with the PGA. And generally speaking, they will, if the whoever the Ryder Cup captain is generally a President's Cup assistant captain. Now, of course, Weirzy was a captain on the President's Cup already, but it would be great to see him back in Montreal.
It would be. And Tiger and Ernie Els are, you know, looking back at President's Cup history, they're known for that moment back in 2003, you know, the tie that happened there. And I'm glad you mentioned Ernie Els too, because he is the one that I would say personally that he's a big turning point for the international side, bringing everyone together. Because even Bob, when we were at the President's Cup in 2017 at Liberty National, you could tell, I mean, the U.S. almost clinched that on the Saturday, the day before the tournament ended. And you could tell, like, there's just different team chemistry between the U.S., obviously with the Ryder Cup, more team events coming up together, that sort of thing, and the international side, who, language barriers, etc. There's so many different things. But to have a guy like Ernie Els bring this back together, it's great. And I know when you spoke with Ryan Hart, we aired that last Wednesday, he's expecting a pretty interesting atmosphere, pretty raucous atmosphere. Colin Morikawa told us the same thing in Hawaii too when we spoke to him. What kind of atmosphere are you expecting at Royal Montreal?
Well, you know, judging from the last time we were there in 07, it was really, I won't say it wasn't a pro international team. Especially the biggest was when Mike was playing Tiger. But other than that, it was kind of people just enjoying themselves, having fun, cheering good shots and laughing when guys fell in the water. And there wasn't really an us versus them that you see at so many of these competitions, especially in the Ryder Cup. But in the last few President's Cups, there's been a bit of, you know, USA, USA and the international chanting. And so I think you're going to see a partisan crowd, and I think that's what Mike Weir wants. He really wants to get under these guys' skin and have a sort of a 13th player, if you will, on the international team side. So he's working on some things that he believes will do that. They've embraced the Montreal Canadiens organization to help out on business side and things. And I think, you know, if there's any more dedicated fans in the NHL than the Montreal fans, you know, there might be Toronto, but there's very few that are that dedicated and that pro their team. So I think that's what Mike Weir is hoping to do. And these captain's picks are going to be very popular. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
When you spoke to Weirzy last year, you gave him the over-under 2.5 Canadians. We've seen a winner. We've seen Nick Taylor win this season on the PGA Tour. You've got to think he would be a lock unless something wild happens. What do you think, Bob? Over-under 2.5, given what you've seen from Team Canada so far, how much of a push do we need to see from our Canadians on the PGA Tour to hit that over 2.5 number?
I think 3 is almost a lock, I would say. Almost a lock. You're probably going to have Nick Taylor as an automatic pick. You might get one more in there. I don't know if you will or not, but you might get one more. But I think you can make a case for picking two Canadians of the six captains' picks. It might be a stretch to go with 3. So if you get 2 to automatically qualify, you might have the opportunity to pick 2 that could help your team. And you know, a lot of the choices are going to be made by analytics. You look at the great putting of Mackenzie Hughes. You look at the great short game of Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin for that respect. Nick and Adam, as we said earlier, are going to play together today. They're doing a little showcasing, maybe. And same thing with Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith. Maybe they're trying to get Mike Weir's attention and show him that they can play together pretty well as a team. So 3, I think, is a lock.
Okay, and like you mentioned too, Zurich Classic of New Orleans team event this week on the PGA Tour. A couple of Canadian duos, Taylor and Hadwin and Pendrith and Corey Connors. Let's see what Team Canada can do this week to show Mike Weir what they've got, what they're ready for a little later this year at the President's Cup. Okay, that wraps up Hour 1 here on GTC. Coming up in Hour 2, the latest on 20 weeks of TaylorMade. We'll have winners, weird, and what. We'll hear from TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. But Hour 2 kicks off in a couple minutes with Michael the Hound Dog Harrison.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on with Hour 2, the back nine here on Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Mark Sacchino on a plane right now. He'll be back on Wednesday's show. Coming up in Hour 2, we'll have winners, weird, and what. We'll have TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours also going to join the show. But now, to kick off Hour 2, our good friend of the show, Michael the Hound Dog Harrison, now joins us on the line. Hound Dog, what is going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Very excited to be on the line with you and to chop it up about what's going on with the golf. Yeah, it's been awesome. I'm still waiting.
Oh, I think we may have had a dropped call as he was saying, I'm still waiting. Now, talk about intrigue. Bob, what do we think we're waiting for? Or do we have him back? Oh, Michael, are you there?
He's back.
I'm here. Sorry about that. I have no idea what happened. You know, technology, you know, it's just the best.
So, okay. So before we get to this, you said, I'm waiting. And then the call dropped out right then. So we're all on the edge of our seats. What are you waiting for?
Oh, wow. What a teaser, eh? That's pretty good. I was going to say I'm waiting to become hopefully the best friend of the show at some point, but I can accept a good friend of the show for now.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do about that as we move forward here. Okay, so let's talk about the two number ones dominating right now. Michael, let's start with Scottie Scheffler because he won about two hours ago. You've watched this game for a long time. You've covered it in many different aspects too. Just how incredible is this run right now from Scottie Scheffler?
It's unbelievably remarkable. It's to the point where it's, you know, I think he was he made an early double bogey on the Thursday round, and I was like, you know what? I think that was, if you're, anyone's going to make a bet, now is the time to do that for him, because obviously he's still going to win, which of course he ended up doing. You know, there's been, you know, tremendous runs over the years. Certainly, you know, Dustin Johnson winning three in a row leading up to that Masters that unfortunately he couldn't play. Of course, Rory McIlroy winning three in a row as well, and two of those being majors in 2014. But I mean, this is just. It's just silly. Like it almost looks like he's not even breaking a sweat, Scottie Scheffler, and it's just crazy. You keep thinking. I was listening to you guys earlier, and Bob was saying it's so true. You keep thinking that okay, at some point the shoe's going to drop and he's not going to be as good anymore. But he just I don't understand it. How is this guy such a machine?
He's really pretty spectacular in what he's been doing, and you know now. What odds would you give him, Hound Dog, to win the to break the all-time streak, which is 11 by Byron Nelson? He won 11 in a row. That might be a bit of a mountain to climb.
Imagine he was, you know, he's able to get 10 of 11 victories, but the one victory that eluded him was Steven Yeager being the trivia question to beat him. That would be one like 50 years from now that no, you know, basically no one would remember. It's just. Like I said, it doesn't even seem like he's even doing anything crazy spectacular, but of course he is, obviously. I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just really, really crazy. But it is weird, though. He hasn't won a golf tournament past April, which is I just find that extremely hilarious. Clearly that's going to change very soon, probably in the not-so-distant future here. But it is funny that all of his 10 victories in the PGA Tour have been April or before, which is just sort of bizarre. And the other one is, of course... I think I counted it up. I think it's eight. Eight of the 10 tournaments he's won have been in limited fields, which is also kind of funny that is Scottie Scheffler not that he's only winning in limited fields? I'm joking, obviously.
Ooh, hot, spicy take there. We're in conversation here.
Clearly a joke.
We're in conversation with Michael the Hound Dog Harrison here. And when we look at his pre-tournament odds heading into a lot of these events as of late, we've seen sort of 4-1, plus 400, plus 500. PGA Championship right now on FanDuel, he's plus 350. So from a value perspective, Michael, it's perhaps challenging to look at that number and say, I want to take a look and bet Scottie Scheffler pre-tournament. But I understand last week you were watching the coverage and you noticed at some point, I want to say it was the first round or second round, that his number climbed a little higher, and that's when you pounced. If someone were to bet Scottie Scheffler, would you give them similar advice to wait a little bit into the tournament?
I mean, certainly that's the way I always had planned on doing things with him, because, you know, as you said, the number is so low that it's like you have to bet so much just to win even a little bit, you know. But, very, very fortunate at the RBC Heritage that he made that early double bogey. So then you were able to jump on him. I think I got him at plus 850. But I was talking to a good friend of mine, Chaz, last week when we were watching the Masters together. And he was saying, you know what, he did a small sprinkle on Scheffler before the tournament and then bet on some other players after that, knowing you're not going to win a bunch of money on Scheffler, but it's almost inevitable. It feels like at this point that Scottie's going to win. So, yeah, you're probably going to lose all your other wagers for the other players, but at least at the end of the tournament on Sunday, you make a little bit of money back from Scheffler. And, you know, I was like, I don't know why I hadn't really thought of doing that before. I guess I was expecting he wasn't just going to go on this crazy tear. But that's maybe the strategy at this point. Or I know there's betting markets certainly out there as well now where it's betting without Scottie Scheffler. So that's probably your best bet, to be honest with you, is just, you know, eliminating him from the bet altogether and then picking whoever you want after that.
that's stunning that he's come to this point already with these this run that he's been on. And, you know, the amazing thing to me is we look back in January and February and remember how terrible he was putting. Remember how awful it was. We were sort of counting him out in a lot of cases. And you start to think now, imagine if he'd made the putter switch a little bit earlier. Imagine if he had been less stubborn and listened to some of his other players, what kind of a magical year this could be. And from a standpoint of just what it's meant to professional golf and, you know, a guy who's standing out, I think his run has captured so much imagination, captured the attention, even though the numbers are somewhat, some shapes are down. But I wonder how much is too much? Like, if you, in your mind, Hound Dog, do you think that if he continues to win sporadically through the rest of the year, it's a great story? Or is it a, is it something that's saying, oh, well, I'm getting bored of this now?
Well, certainly, I've often said about Scotty, I wish there was a little bit more charisma, but whatever works for whatever player, right? Certain players feed off that energy of being sort of, you know, really, you know, gung-ho, and other players like him, certainly, you know, much more, you know, understated type thing. But I think golf, you know, it actually probably would be a good thing in the long run if he has this crazy run, because then people have these debates, which, by the way, I find there, it's a little way too early to be saying, like, is Scotty the next Tiger Woods? Amazing. He's on an amazing heater and stretch for the last couple of years here. But it's like, it's way, 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 way too early to be saying that. But if Scotty does win four or five more times this year, at least another major, then we can start having that discussion, where it's just kind of fun. It's good to have that debate, you know, that out there, whether or not people think that or not. Like I said, I still think it's like, okay, let's have Scotty do this for another 6, 7, 8 years in a row, pretty much in a row, then we could start talking about whether, everyone wants to have that player who's going to be like the next Tiger, right? Like, Rory had those four majors quickly. Spieth had the three. Koepka has five here. But it's like, you know, I saw a video recently, this last tournament that was posted on the PGA Tour on their Twitter. And it was just like all the insane stats that Tiger Woods had in his career, and the players were trying to list them off. And it's just like, it's mind-boggling what he did. And Scheffler is mind-boggling what he's doing right now, but let's see how he's doing 3, 4 years down the road to even come close to comparing him to Tiger Woods.
And Scheffler right now, he is on, I mean, this run has been great for him. 4 wins in the last 5 starts. Someone who's actually having a better run than Scottie Scheffler right now, oh, that's Nelly Korda. She's won 5 straight tournaments, looking to win her 6th straight tournament. Still hard to believe, coming out of my mouth, that those are true statements for professional golfers. Michael, when you look at the run that Nelly Korda has had, what comes to mind?
It's again, it just seems so easy, and golf isn't easy. It's so dang difficult. You can have a great shot, and you know the wind picks up and it goes in the water, and you make double bogey, and you maybe lose. What she's doing is just, it's, I mean, there's not enough superlatives to say what she's been doing. It's just absolutely amazing, especially now that, you know, the 5th one is with a major. That's a really, really great part of this this whole thing. And I just wish there was a bit, I wish there was a lot more hype that was associated with this. I'm not quite sure why, for whatever reasons, you know, I grew up watching the LPGA Tour like crazy every single week, and I definitely watch quite a lot now, and admittedly, perhaps I'm part of the problem as well, in terms of I'm not watching every single tournament as well, which, you know, maybe I should, but I still understand why it's not getting more attention. It's certainly, I love that you guys have talked about it on this show, so we're definitely hyping it up, as it should be. This is insane, but I don't know, understand sort of why the LPGA Tour hasn't had more hype with this story. This is amazing. Like, you look at what's going on in the WNBA draft, like way, way, way more viewers than they ever had with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Aaliyah Edwards, which is amazing. I don't really know why the LPGA Tour hasn't broken into that sort of, you know, everyone's talking about it, especially with this story. It sort of baffles me.
I think this story is starting to get some traction, and it should have a little more, as you're right, but I think at least we're paying a little bit more of attention to it. I think that when you look at when you have a marquee player like this, you know, we go back and you can look at Annika Sorenstam, and she got a lot of attention out of it, maybe not as much as they deserve. The one thing about the LPGA Tour is you get a lot more unheralded winners, let's say, winners who come out of the pack that you don't really know that much, and not saying that they're all like that. So I think the one thing about Nelly is, A, and this is a little patriotic for the U.S. players, but they haven't had a great U.S. player for some time, really, when you think about it, and you, not at least at this level. And you think of someone like Michelle Wee was going to be in that way, or Lexi Thompson, you know, who's kind of fallen off her great run that she was having maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So I think this is a player that now the masses can kind of cheer for. This is our gal, and we're going to kind of put it behind and get on this. And as you said, the women's sports, the attention on women's sports is really something. So I think this is helping to draw it in. And maybe even if she doesn't win another tournament the rest of this year, maybe the eyeballs will stay on the LPGA Tour. That's what you can always hope for and keep your fingers crossed for it.
Ah, absolutely, for sure. And something I also thought about that would be really interesting and fun as well. I know, you know, back in the day, there used to be, you know, sort of made-for-TV events like the Battle of Bighorn with Tiger and Sergio and that type of thing. And obviously, they've had the match here. I think it's, I want to say, 7 or 8 iterations of that. You know, it started off really, really cool with, you know, Tiger versus Phil. And then, even though I'm a huge golf fan, I haven't really watched the last few at all. Like, it's been quarterbacks and playing, and, you know, Steph Curry also playing. And it just hasn't really drawn my attention. But if they had a Scottie Scheffler versus Nelly Korda, the match, that, and maybe you throw in a couple other interesting personalities in, as well, you know, into the mix as well for that, or just one-on-one, to be honest. I'd rather just have the one-on-one. That'd be so much fun if they, I hope, I'm sure they're, of course, thinking about it and talking about it, but that would be a lot of fun to watch.
What about Nelly and Scotty as a team in the Grant Thornton, or as we're expected to hear an announcement in a couple of weeks about the new mixed team event that is going to join the Olympics, not this time, but perhaps 4 years down the road. How about that as a powerhouse team that would get a few flags waving south of the border?
Man, that'd be so, so cool. It'd be amazing. And that's the thing with both these players, I find. Like, you can certainly look at the Masters and then the RBC Heritage with Scotty. And same with Korda. Like, they're playing amazing golf, but it's almost like it's to the point where the intimidation factor is the other players will falter with double bogeys, right? It was like Morikawa, Aubert, and Homa at the Masters, and then Patrick Rogers and Wyndham Clark, you know, they're right there kind of yesterday close to Scotty, and then they make double bogeys. It's almost like, you know, everyone, it's the point where, yep, Scotty's going to win, or yep, Nelly's going to win. And then the players just push a little bit too hard to try to, you know, actually be able to potentially beat them, make that big blunder, and then the tournament's pretty much over. It's, yeah, their intimidation factors are incredible right now.
They're on quite the run right now, both of them. It's incredible to see. Okay, before we let you go, Michael, I have to ask you, because we haven't had you on the show in a little bit, I have to ask you about Tiger Woods. Because he makes the cut at the Masters, loses steam throughout the weekend for sure, finishes last of any player who made the cut, but still made the cut. What do you think about Tiger here as we look ahead for the next majors for the rest of the season?
I weirdly leave that Masters being fairly positive that, you know, he didn't look like he was laboring like crazy. You know, first two rounds were, you know, quite good. I think he was 7 back going into the weekend there. You know, of course, the end result, you know, finishing last of those who made the cut isn't good. But, you know, Will Zalatoris in the, what was it, 18-man field at the Bahamas, the Tigers tournament, the Hero. Like, he was way, way off coming back from a long injury. And then he had a couple chances to win early this season. So, you know, a few weeks after that, or, you know, a month or two after that. So, to me, I'm actually quite positive that Tiger played like, pretty well his first two rounds, ran out of steam, but... You know, if he could actually play, I've discussed on the show before, if he could actually, you know, play a few more tournaments, I think namely be, you know, when he's 50 years old, can play the Champions Tour, get into a golf cart there on that tour, and actually get some reps under his belt, then show up at major championships, he might have a better chance to succeed as opposed to not playing at all and then just jumping onto a major. That's not going to happen. You're not going to win doing that. But I actually thought that there was a lot of things to like about that Tiger. Of course, like I said, with the Zalatoris and Tiger, the end results, obviously not anywhere close to what they want, but he actually played a lot better than I thought that he would those first 2 days. You know, he didn't clear the cut easily, no problem at all. So Yeah, fairly confident with it all, to be honest with you. And like you said, hopefully he's going to be playing all these majors each month, the PGA coming up in a few weeks, and then the U.S. Open and the Open Championship.
Yeah, there you go. You're Masters, right about that. Okay, now before we really let you go, I do have to ask you because, you know, golf season is back in the GTA, and according to social media, you were out there last Friday playing some golf. How did you play? How many layers did you have on? Were there any fist pumps?
There were no fist pumps, unfortunately, no birdies. But just sort of like almost, you know, I'm not in any way comparing myself to Tiger Woods because that would be a blasphemous, of course. But yeah, I'm going to do that right now. The score wasn't exactly as good as how I played, I felt. So just like with Tiger Woods, you know, he played probably better than the score would indicate. So that's my one and only comparison ever to Tiger Woods in my lifetime. And it's not even close, of course, obviously. But, you know, it's just good to finally swing the sticks again. It's been so dang long since I played last, right? I guess it was last November. But, yeah, I definitely won't be trying to qualify for the Masters anytime soon. I wouldn't say that. But awesome to get it back out there. And I want to super quickly ask Bob a question. I've been wondering this for years. I think I know the answer to this. But has the Masters ever thought about going to a Amen Corner three-hole playoff, start the coverage a bit earlier on Sunday? Or is it just because after they finish on 13, it'd be too far away from the clubhouse? Because I think that'd be a perfect playoff, a three-hole playoff, 11, 12, 13, to win the Masters.
They, to the best of my knowledge, they have never done that. And they have recently, in the last little while, I can't remember exactly the year, changed the playoff hole to 18. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, remember when Mike Weir won, of course, they went to the 10th hole. And I think the main reason you don't move things around too much is you've got this massive crowd around the 18th hole. And to see them all storming down the fairway to try and get to 11, 12, and 13 might not be what they want at Augusta National. I think it's just simpler. And at least they only have one hole playoff as compared to the other three major championships.
Yeah, because, you know, it used to start, like you said, on 10. And then if it had to go, it would go to the 11th hole. So it wasn't like they would avoid the 11th hole altogether. I just think it'd be so fun to have Amen Corner as the playoff. But yeah, logistically, it probably doesn't make sense. But I've always wanted the Masters to do that.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Well, hey, Michael, or should we call you Tiger? Thanks so much for your time today. really enjoyed it as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been a blast, and we'll do it again. Can't wait.
Yes, we will. That's Michael the Hound Dog Harrison. Okay, Golf Talk Canada returns next with an interview with TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Well, coming up this week on television, we're airing our Portugal travel special with Golf Away Tours. I was in Portugal in March, got to enjoy some of the great golf courses, local cuisine, great hotels in the Portugal area. While I was in Portugal, I chatted with TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours all about our experience and how you can plan your golf trip of a lifetime. Here alongside TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. TJ, it's been a remarkable trip here in Portugal. But for you, what goes into getting trips like this all together?
Well, you know what? A lot of factors, obviously. The golf is always what we focus on. So we always focus on the best golf courses in Portugal, and there's so many great ones. And, of course, right behind us here, we have West Cliffs, which we just played in some weather conditions. It's beautiful right now. And it'd be one of the best golf courses here in Portugal. And so we really focus first and foremost on the golf. But there's more to it than just the golf, right? When you come to Portugal, you come here for the food. You come here for the wine. You come here for the great people who, you know, all speak English and make you feel so comfortable. And so even though the golf's spectacular, there's more to it than just that.
So a couple of years ago, now 2.5 years ago, hard to believe, we went to Spain on a similar trip. But how did you decide on Portugal in particular for this group of people?
It really is an emerging destination, right? And it's a destination that not a lot of people know about in terms of golf. And because of courses like this one, Westcliffs, Comporta Dunas, which we played a couple days ago, another course opening up at Comporta, really the golf, the quality of golf is really rising in Portugal. And so people know Scotland, Ireland, even Spain. But Portugal really is an emerging destination for golf, and we really wanted to show it off to the pros here that we brought this week.
Now, playing here throughout the round so far, we've seen a variety of different kinds of golf. But in your mind, how would you describe the golf so far here in Portugal?
Well, there really is a variety, and that's a great way to describe it. You know, we played, the first round we played was at Troia, and it's a tighter golf course and really demands some shot making. Then we played Comporta Dunas, which is a new golf course, and is it quite a bit wider and more generous, but has some just spectacular holes, 18 great holes, you know, no bad holes out there. And then Praia del Rey here, which was challenging yesterday, right on the coast, Westcliffs today as well. You know, again, challenging golf courses with the weather conditions that you get. But it really is a great variety. A lot of the properties are very sandy, so they are generally fairly dry and run out, but we've had a bit of wet weather this week. But really a great variety. Westcliffs today was just so challenging, but a lot of fun to play.
So booking trips like this, obviously golf is the focal point, but golf's only 4 or 5 hours a day, perhaps if the pace of play is slower. Then there's the rest of the day to fill out. What have been some of your favorite non-golf activities that you've enjoyed this trip that you'd recommend to people coming to Portugal?
Well, really, the food and wine is really a lot of what people come here for. And we've had a couple great wine tours. We're having another one this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And the wine here, the Portuguese are very selfish in some ways in that they don't share their wine because they like to keep it to themselves because it's that good. And we're really experiencing that this week. And the wine has been fantastic. We're staying here at the Marriott this week. It has so much to offer in terms of a spa and a lot of other facilities. When we had a great day in Lisbon a couple days ago, we had great walking tours, we had a tuk-tuk tour around town, and there's so much to see in that city. It's a great walking city, so there really is a lot to see besides the golf.
A lot to see besides the golf, for sure. Now, we're here with a pretty cool group, I would say. How would you describe to our audience the group of guys and gals who are here with us this week?
Well, they're all beauties, aren't they? I mean, you know, we've got 8 golf pros here, PGA Canada pros, and then a couple of media members and myself and Ron from Golf Away Tours. And really, the group has really gelled well together. And they're all just great people and really good players. And they've really enjoyed the golf. And the camaraderie at night has been great, having some drinks afterwards and some nice glasses of wine. And really, we've had just a fantastic week.
Yeah, talking about all our rounds, debriefing them, the good shots, the few bad shots that may or may not happen too. But let's say for someone watching this, for someone listening to this who say, hey, I want to come to Portugal. I want to come to a great destination. How do they contact you? Where do they go from there?
Well, you can find us at golfawaytours.com as always, and there's some information there, obviously, on Portugal and the great courses here. And, you know, just call us up. We love talking about it. We love just talking about our experiences here and what we know and convincing people to come here because it's an awesome destination.
And in terms of planning, because people are traveling again. COVID's behind us. People are traveling. When do you recommend people reach out? Like, is it a year out? Is it 6 months out? That sort of thing?
That's one thing that's really changed through COVID, right? And we've talked about this, you know, on your show before. But before, it might have been maybe 6 or 8 months for a Portuguese trip in advance that you'd book. But now it's more 12 to 18 months. And people are booking a lot earlier and things are booking up a lot quicker. So it's never too early to look. That's what we tell people.
It's golfawaytours.com. Now, TJ, before we wrap, you've done a bunch of these trips. You've traveled all over the world. What's your favorite part of this job?
Well, this. Isn't it hosting people on trips like this and getting to play some unbelievable golf courses and hang out and have some great experiences, wine experiences and so on. I just love seeing new destinations. And I hadn't been to Portugal in a few years, so it was great to get back here and see some of the new product that I haven't seen yet. And, you know, it's just living the dream, buddy.
Well, TJ, thanks for your time. And go check out golfawaytours.com to plan your travel adventure of a lifetime. TJ, thank you.
Thanks, Scully.
Many thanks to TJ Rule, Ron Judge, the crew from Golf Away Tours for setting up a trip of a lifetime. You can watch our full experience in Portugal, the first airing of that tomorrow night, 10 p.m. on TSN2. When we come back here on GTC, it is Winners, Weird, and What.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully alongside Bob Weeks. Obviously, this is a golf show, but we do follow the Toronto Maple Leafs very closely. Can report that William Nylander is skating this morning in Boston, but Bob is not skating with a line. So he's actually, apparently, according to our own Mark Masters, passing the puck with Noah Gregor, who was another scratch in game one. So Bob, I'm not sure if we're going to see William Nylander or not come game two, which gets underway in about 7.5 hours. But I don't know. What did you think about the Leafs game one performance?
I thought they actually had some great moments. They were playing pretty well, but they just made like two or three sort of silly mistakes and boom, boom, boom. So I almost, this might sound a little weird, but I think they almost sort of outplayed them in chances, at least certainly in the first half of the game. And then, but boy, when they were bad, they were really bad, unfortunately. So got to be better tonight. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they certainly outshot them. And the TSN turning point in my mind was when Austin Matthews hit the post after Jeremy Swayman came out to play the puck early in the second period. That would have tied the game at one. And we know the rest is history. Anyway, that's our hockey talk here for our two-hour golf show. Let's get back to golf now. It's winners, weird, and what this week. Bob, you have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Well, all right, Adam, my winner this week, I know we are sort of based in Toronto, but our broadcast goes well into the West there with the folks in Hamilton and Burlington. And my winners this week are the folks in Burlington, and my hopeful winners are going to be the folks in Hamilton. And let me tell you what I mean by that. There is one public golf course, municipal golf course in Burlington, and that is Tyandaga. And just recently, the city of Burlington announced after a study that rather than change this into parkland or do something else with it, they're going to invest in the golf course. They're going to improve it a little bit. They've taken down some trees. They've improved some of the sight lines on the golf course, and they're all in on saying, yeah, you know what? This is a great asset. We should maintain it. And so the people in Burlington are going to enjoy the future of Tyandaga, which is a nice golf course if you haven't played. And in May, there's going to be another decision. A good friend of ours, Gary McKay, who's a longtime sports writer in Hamilton, I think something like 44 years or something crazy like that, reported that Chidoke and King's Forest, the two courses, two facilities, I should say, because one has 36 holes, they are having a look over as well. And the municipal government there is also looking to see what they should do with those golf courses. And there is some feeling, there's nothing concrete yet, but there is some feeling that the courses are going to be saved and hopefully improved. And they are very good golf courses. In fact, one was the original Hamilton Golf and Country Club. But they are celebrating essentially 100 years of playing golf on these courses. So hopefully we'll get a good decision in May. And public golf, municipal golf, once again, will be the big winner, as it has been in Toronto after a similar kind of study was done a couple of years ago.
And this is great for the overall growth of the game. This is how many people get their start. Many people initially fall in love with playing golf on these golf courses. I know the same can be said about you, Bob.
That's right. I did. I started at Scarlet Woods. I started at Humber Valley playing and started working at Scarlet Woods. My weird this week takes us down to Perth, Australia, where Rowan McCarthy had a round that I don't know how you even put this into words. Now, he's a 20 handicapper. He went out and on the front nine, he shot a 45, which was just basically bogey, double bogey, par, bogey, triple bogey, par, bogey, bogey, bogey. Then he got to the back nine, and he started off with a par. Then he had a triple. Then he had a hole in one.
Oh.
Then he had a double. Then he had a triple. Then he had a double eagle. He, like you have had, he had the albatross. He had a two on a par five. So in the stretch of four holes, he went 1-6-7-2 on a 3, a 4, a 4, and a 5. Recorded a 39 for his round and is claiming to be perhaps the first person to have a holopolis, sort of like a holbatross. That's what I'm trying to get, a holbatross. Five-hole stretch of triple, hole-in-one, double, triple, albatross. I have never seen anything like this, and good for him for posting the score. You've had an albatross, and I've seen it. It was one of the most exciting moments I ever had on a golf course, but I can imagine this one might have even been a little more exciting.
Well, especially after the hole-in-one, too, to have a one and a two on the same nine in a five-hole stretch. We won't talk about how he still shot 39 on the back nine. That's fine. That's fine. But a one and a two in a five-hole stretch, Bob, that's amazing.
Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. All right. And my what this week is, what are we going to make of Scottie Scheffler's golf balls? He is one of the few players who uses high numbers on the ball, like a 5, a 6, a 7, and even an 8, apparently. And he doesn't have any superstition in them. Most golfers only like to have 1s, 2s, or 3s. In fact, some of them are very picky, and they'll only use 2s or they'll only use 3s. But the number on the golf ball for Scottie Scheffler doesn't seem to matter at all. So he has big numbers. And other than people who put, like 65 on there, or they're putting a friend's hockey sweater number or something like that on there. I don't know, Adam, what's your sense? Are you superstitious with the golf ball numbers?
Well, Bob, as you know, I was a goaltender for many years of my life, so superstition has been a thing in the past. I had some golf balls made when I was drafted in the Ontario Hockey League at 83rd, so I had a bunch of TaylorMade 83s played. My one thing that I wouldn't suggest to people, if you're getting golf balls made, don't get your last name on them, because for me, as you know, my dispersion's about 200 yards left to right. If you send shots into people's backyards with your last name on it, they will come back to get you. But now, Bob, in terms of superstition, I am not superstitious with my golf balls.
Let me tell you a very quick story. Years ago, there was a guy from Vancouver. He sent me this story when I was working at Square Golf Magazine. His name was Des Askey, and he had a bunch of balls with his name on it, Des Askey. And one hole he was playing, I guess he hit his ball onto the opposing fairway, and there was a lady approaching to the ball, and he was approaching to the ball, and they both were going to go there. And he said to the lady who was just about to hit, she says, "I think that's my golf ball." And she looked down at it, and she says, "No, it's mine. I always play a Des Askey." She thought it was the brand name of the golf ball. So we let her have the golf ball. While you're laughing, Adam, the tee is now yours.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
Oh, man, I'm not sure where to go from that, but I'll try. Anyway, oh, man, and we just heard that 3-dub sting. Bob, people have to stay tuned to this video that will be released with Golf Town and TaylorMade, because we might have hit it a little further than that this time.
Oh,
anyways,
boy.
To my winner this week. And this is something that we discussed on Wednesday's show, too, but I really wanted to reiterate how much of a winner he is for doing this. And that's Rory McIlroy, really getting ahead of the rumors, where last Monday at about 4 or 5 p.m., I know I was getting ready to go drive in to host SportsCenter, and social media was blowing up about some random London financial newspaper saying, "Oh, Rory's close to signing a deal with Liv for $850 million." But what did Rory do the next day? Instead of being silent, instead of waiting for his typical Wednesday pre-tournament press conference, he was on the driving range. Todd Lewis from Golf Channel, they got together. I'm not sure how that was coordinated, but for Rory to get ahead of this and make sure it came from his mouth, make sure it wasn't a written statement, because we saw that in the past, back in 2022, before Liv became a thing. You know, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, they both tweeted out, "We're staying with the PGA Tour." We didn't see them say that word of mouth to a camera. It was just finger to, typing it out, or their agent typed it out. But Rory McIlroy, we saw his lips say, "I'm staying with the PGA Tour for the rest of his career." Bob, this is just a great move by Rory McIlroy.
You know, there was a lot of reasons why I didn't really believe that. One was that I didn't really trust the source. And two, almost every major golf media player was at the Masters and nobody else had that story. And three, Rory McIlroy despises Greg Norman.
Well said. Okay, my weird this week goes to someone who has been in the headlines for some interesting comments, to say the least, and Taylor Gooch. So Taylor Gooch was talking about 72 hole events and 54 hole events that are going on LIV right now. And he said this about why 54 hole events are more exciting for fans. This is a direct quote. "It's just funny to me, this arbitrary number of 72. Why is it not 90? Why is it not 108? We just decided to make that number the number. For what reason? Everyone's talked about world ranking points and all this stuff, but no one's talked about what do the fans enjoy more. People want something that's going to be more exciting, and I personally think that 54 holes is more exciting for the fans." Bob, thoughts?
He's one odd duck, man. That's all I can say. I don't understand that logic, but hey, more power to him if that's what he wants to believe.
Just strange. Anyway, my what this week, Scottie Scheffler is on a remarkable run, but Scottie Scheffler is not perfect. First round, Scottie Scheffler in a greenside bunker. What, you know, we've seen him get up and down from just about anywhere. We saw a great chip in during Sunday's final round before the weather delay. But in the first round, out of a greenside bunker, Scottie Scheffler hit a cold shank. It's possible, Bob. He's not a robot. Shanks can happen to anyone, can't they?
They can. I've seen Tiger shank. You know, it doesn't happen very often, maybe once in a career. But the best part about Scottie is, man, he just keeps putting birdies on top of that shank to negate it. So quite a run, and even shank filled. It's nice to see that he's human.
Nice to see that he's human for sure. Scottie Scheffler, Nelly Korda on quite the runs right now in the world of golf. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up today's show with some leaderboard updates. Maybe set an over-under on what I'm going to shoot at Pinehurst number 2. Because, Bob, I'm excited, but I'm a little terrified at the same time. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from QMerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyriq. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
And a lot of content coming out with our friends from Adidas this week at the Addy Cup. Looking forward to getting out very shortly, actually. There's a shuttle service here at Pinehurst for those who haven't been before. And there's a shuttle that goes right to the main clubhouse where number 2 and number 4 are. Looking forward to getting out. And a lot of content coming out with Pinehurst as well, especially for U.S. Open. We can't wait for that. Time now for some leaderboard updates. Leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, the number one rangefinder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more on that. We have PGA Tour Americas. Matthew Anderson, the Canadian, wins on PGA Tour Americas. He will join us on GTC on Wednesday for a full debrief on that win. Nelly Korda wins the Chevron Championship, her fifth straight win, second career major. Brooke Henderson, T3, fifth top 10 already in 8 starts this season. And on the PGA Tour, Scottie Scheffler, yet again, wins for the fourth time in 5 starts. Scottie Scheffler is an absolute unit right now on the PGA Tour. Well, Bob, 20 weeks of TaylorMade also continues. Stay tuned to our social media channels as we will announce the winner of the TaylorMade QI10 Designer Series driver. This is valued, Bob, at $830.
Oh, wow, that's a good price. And I've only hit mine. I have not hit mine outside yet. I'm assuming you're going to be doing that today for yourself. But I can't wait to get it out there. It's working well for me in the sim, so we'll see how it does on the real test of the ground.
Now, yeah, Bob, I'm glad you mentioned that because I noticed you had some more speed in the sims on Thursday. Maybe it was the adrenaline pumping from all of us rooting you on and or chirping you at the same time. I noticed some more club head speed, Bob.
Well, we're going to have to get a lot more to get close to you. So I think I was 100 yards behind you when the measurements were all in. So,
yeah, well, that video that you noticed on social media, the photo we posted with some of our teammates from TSN, that'll be going out on the Golftown TaylorMade socials by end of week, maybe next week, and we are definitely going to air some, if not all of that, on Golf Talk Canada as well. Okay, Bob, about a minute left. I haven't played golf since Portugal. I shot some numbers that were a little higher than high. I'm heading out to Pinehurst number 2. The U.S. Open's being played there in 52 days. I'm putting my over-under, Bob, at 82.5. What do you think?
I'll go first time playing there. Maybe I'll go just a slightly titch of an over, just because the greens will take some getting used to. But you could surprise us all, and I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't make any sense. But you could shoot lower, and I wouldn't be surprised. Put it that way.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't putted at all. Actually, I have a different putter in the bag than I had in Portugal because, you know, me and putters. I'm trying some new things. I'm a little tight here. I've been trying to do some dynamic lunges and stretches during the commercial breaks here, but T-minus an hour and now 17 minutes till on the tee here on Pinehurst number 2. Can't wait to get out and play today. Okay, well, that wraps up our first GTC of the week. We are back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. on TSN2 for our Portugal travel special. Then the boys are back together Wednesday, 10 a.m. right here on the TSN radio network. Bob, thanks for a fun morning, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network.